And there's more. You've tuned in to the last hour of part one of Those Singing Drag Queens. In London in the early 80s, Paul O'Grady created an alter ego he named Lily Savage. And Lily started her act in the gay clubs and then broke into television in the 90s, eventually hosting her own show in England. She is tall, very blonde, and her humor is very adult. And she has released a number of comedy shows on CD and video. Along the way, she sung in several productions, including one of Snow White and the Seven Dwarfs. Now that must have been something. But she's only released one song on her own. From 1988, and with the help of dance music producer Ian Levine, here's Lily Savage and a little of her song, Tough at the Top. I quite like that one. That was Lily Savage. The next artist is not really a female impersonator, but I think he's earned a well-deserved mention on this show for an album he released in 1986. Fred Barton is a composer, director, actor, singer, etc., etc., and his long career started as co-creator of the show Forbidden Broadway. He's had many more accomplishments than I can name in this short introduction, but he's on this show for his one-man creation, Miss Gulch Returns, in which he played Almira Gulch. You remember Almira Gulch, don't you? Well, the premise was the entertainment comeback of the witch from The Wizard of Oz. Here's the very clever song in the show that she sings first, I'm a Bitch.
Almira, you're on in 2 minutes.
Thanks. What town are we in tonight?
Toledo.
Toledo, you gotta be kidding. All right.
Ladies and gentlemen, hold on to your hats. Keep your dogs leashed. She's mean. She's green. She's queen of the keyboard. She's Almira Gulch.
Thank you. Now, listen, Did you happen to notice that everyone got to sing a big number in The Wizard of Oz except for me? I had one originally. They cut it. Judy Garland got to sing Over the Rainbow, of course. Somebody was working for her. Academy Award, concert career, cult legend, the whole Megillah. What did I get? Of course, I do still have the number that I was supposed to do in the end. All right, I'll do it for you. It's called I'm a Bitch. Close attention to the rhyme scheme. It's a little tricky. Well, you'll see. All right, I'm a bitch. It goes like this. I'm a creature born to fight. I'm a screecher in the night. Why, I've made poison ivy itch. I'm really thriving when I'm conniving. Nothing new in me. It's the shrew in me. Between you and me. I'm a bitch. Now, listen, I told you in advance it was called I'm a Bitch. What did you think I was going to rhyme with itch? Yeah. Stay with me. In a royal bitchy mood, I could spoil frozen food, and that's by walking through the kitch. Can't help but be vindictive. It's so addictive. That old crappiness is my happiness. I hope that most will pardon my boast, or even toast, that I'm a bitch. My characteristics defy statistics. My peak has been unique since my very birthday. My mother's obstetrician diagnosed my disposition, so I kicked him, my first victim, in my inimitable way. In my rancor, I'm a tanker out to hit, and I can knit my brows and never drop a stitch. 'Cause in my maliciousness, I find deliciousness, and I'm venomous. Not for 10 of us, it's unanimous. If you all got the pitch, yeah, sentiments malevolent seem to be prevalent. Well, isn't it queer? Isn't it rich? I'm a... itch. But after Pop kicked, Ma's loneliness was chronic. She went swimming in a sea of jazz and gin. Remember, Elmira, she used to tell me, you're never alone with a vodka tonic. I can hear her now, whatever bar I'm in. Booze, Mama told me, booze can keep you happy till you're 6 feet under grass. And though I've toasted Mom in heaven since I was 6 or 7, my happiness is yet to come to pass. When I find I'm hot to trot, Ma's advice goes down real nice, but it just don't hit the spot. No, there's one drink they can't sell me. Bitch forgot to tell me. A man doesn't come in a glass. What good is whiskey? I've been through the best in the bar. Whiskey ain't got whiskers wrapped around a cigar. Pour me a face black with bristle. Watch me wet my whistle. Just pour me a man. What good is scotch, whether it's with or without the old twist? Scotch ain't got a watch around its hairy left wrist. Pour me a bulging bicep bastard. Watch me get plastered. Just pour me a man. Liquor, they say, is quicker, they say. But what I want's even quicker. And it's thicker. What good is beer? I've had enough to fill Niagara Falls. What beers ain't got two ears or eyes or arms or legs under a pair of overalls? Pour me a mug with a head on top. I'll chug him drop by drop and make him last as long as I can. Pour me a thug pockmarked and pit-faced, I'll still end up shit-faced. Pour me a straight up, better make it a stiff one. Pour me a double, nothing but trouble.
Fred Barton from Miss Gulch Returns, and I couldn't resist including a little bit of that show's cabaret favorite, Pour Me a Man.
This is Diamond Lil. You're listening to Queer Music Heritage.
One of the natural hazards of doing a history show, especially since this is part one of the story, is that most of the artists are no longer with us. But I am very pleased to bring you an interview with an artist who started performing drag before Stonewall and is still active today. She's a true Atlanta legend, and her name is Diamond Lil. And she stood apart from the other Atlanta drag queens in the early days because she didn't lip sync. She did her own singing, as you'll hear in this short introduction to her style.
Left a good job in the city, working for the man every night and day. But I never lost 1 minute of sleeping, worrying about the way things might have been. A big wheel keep on turning, proud Mary keep on burning. Rolling, yeah, rolling, yeah, rolling on the river. I pushed a lot of plates in Memphis, I pumped a lot of gas in New Orleans, but I never saw the bright lights of the city until I hitched a ride on the riverboat queen. A big wheel keep on turning, proud Mary keep on burning, rolling, 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 rolling on the river, yeah.
Where did you grow up?
Grew up in Savannah, Georgia, land of the oleanders and the wisteria and the Spanish moss.
And what was your first drag experience?
Oh, well, let's see, I was about 5 years old. And I decided, you know how kids are, I decided to go through my mother's things. And so I put on some pumps and real pretty satin slips that my mother had. And sort of a French chapeau hat, you know, that turned to the side and everything. I went out on the sidewalk and sang for all the little neighbors and everything. Some black folks lived across the street in Savannah, you know, in a row house. Everything. They had kids and all. They just loved it. I was an instant star. So I just sang and carried on the sidewalk. That's about 5 years old.
When did you start performing for people in drag?
I did at little parties. You know, people would have little parties and stuff, and little cocktail parties, and I would do songs. So I danced with the soldiers and sailors. They loved it.
Were you lip syncing then?
Mostly dancing. Mm-hmm. Mostly just dance music.
And you progressed to lip syncing then?
Oh yes, I did that, and I also did a few things with live piano. There was a club that had live piano, you know, that had guest singers here and there. I did some guest spots there. Not a whole lot, because in early days, you know, drag was on the blue laws, as you know, you could get arrested for that, for being in drag. So, you know, folks just didn't do drag much. I could paint up a little bit, you know, put a little lip rouge on and a little eyebrow pencil and stuff. But basically, not full drag or something, a little bit of paint.
I was going to ask you about that. Were you arrested for doing drag?
Oh, I've been arrested for drag all my life. So, what a new pussycat.
Roughly when did they stop arresting people for performing in drag?
Atlanta, let me see. I think my last female impersonation charge was probably roughly 1970. Which, God, that's 35 years ago. I can't believe it. But they were still doing it there. The cop was just horrible. Although I told him there was no such charge, he said, oh, he wrote me out female impersonation. I said, there's no such charge as that. And besides, that particular night, I really was only in what folks would say cosmic drag. That means a little bit of drag, but a lot of the men's attire. You know, like no falsies, you know, none of that. A man's shirt, man's pair of shorts, man's sandals, a little bit of paint on the face and all like that. Yeah, I was wearing a sort of a hippie type wig. You know, the hippies were in the city. And all of them had long hair down to their, you know, real long, all the guys. So, I mean, I wasn't out of context or anything. And I went before the judge, and the judge, and I brought a bag of what I had on. I said, these are the man's sandals. This is the man's pants. This is the man's shirt. This is the wig. I said I was going to a hippie nightclub, and I wanted to be one of the hippies, so I put the wig on because my hair was short, and I said I didn't want to be an outcast, and also I put on this wig and everything, and I said, this is what I have, Your Honor. And he said, $35 for female impersonation. Fine. And I said, well, Your Honor, do I have the right for appeal? And he said, you do. And I said, you may consider this case appealed right now. So I went to the American Civil Liberties Union lawyer and appealed it. Because that cost me $150 for the lawyer to appeal it. And then they just supposedly just took it off the record. Supposedly. But you know how they are down at the police department. Probably still on.
How did you get the name Diamond Lil?
In the olden years, you know, drag queens had to go with men's names. Like Ray Bourbon was R-A-Y Bourbon. And then when he supposedly had that sex change in Mexico, which was all fake, changed to R-A-E, Ray Bourbon, R-A-E. Well, he told me all that and had those fake papers where he could play cities like Atlanta that didn't allow drag. So he claimed he was a woman. And then Charles Pierce, that's how he got his name, Charles, and T.C. Jones, Charles Pierce, and, you know, others. So I went to Columbus, Ohio, and came up with the name Leslie Diamond. Well, Leslie's a crossover name, be it man or woman. So I used that in Columbus, Ohio. I came back to Atlanta after I did that stint there. And I got hired here at one of the clubs. And the owner said, well, what is your name? How do I announce you? I said, well, I don't know. I said, people just know me as Lil all over Atlanta. And I said, that's kind of silly. I don't have, and I don't want to use Leslie Diamond. I'm through with that name. And he said, well, you're on. What am I to say? Just Lil or what? And I said, what about Diamond Lil? Ladies and gentlemen, Miss Diamond Lil. And at that time, I really hadn't paid much attention to Mae West, by the way, because she was, you know, popular in the 20s, and she was way before my time, and so forth, and I didn't know that she had written a play entitled Diamond Lil, but she had, I'm sure you've heard of it. So I didn't even know that until, well, I'd say 2-3 years later. I said, oh, Jesus, people are going to think you stole it from Mae. And I said, well, no, you didn't. I said, you got it erroneously. And to hell with it, you've already got it.
Well, I try not to get too deep into an interview without hearing some more music. So could you please tell me about the song Love Generator?
Love Generator is the weirdest thing that has ever happened in show business. Love Generator was supposed to have been Cabbage Town Katie. All right. Well, we got into the studio and I got this producer. Well, the producer, which I didn't know, wanted to do his own thing. So he began saying, well, you need to straighten out this track. And he said, well, let's change this track, get rid of that, and put a hot guitar on this one. Oh, well, let's put maybe some electric piano on this other track. By the time I turned around, the whole concept was changed. And when they played it back, it had nothing to do with Cabbage Town. Okay, when the tracks got changed, I said, this has nothing to do with Cabbage Town. It won't work. You've got all this money put in it. You've got to do another song. So I sat down. I said, what in the hell can you do with this track? So up come Love Generator. And I don't know where it came from.
There are two versions of that song also.
Oh, yes. Well, what happened is, once again, the studio took so long, and I said, since you're going to put out an LP and you are out of money, I said, use the same track and make it a comedy version between Betty Davis, Mae West, Lula Bankhead, and Katharine Hepburn. And let them be at a party and let them, you know, just be talking to one another. And so what it is, you know, I changed the different voices, which I really didn't rehearse that well, and make it a sort of comedy. And lo and behold, if a lot of people don't really like that version a lot. They really do.
Tallulah, do you think an established star could do a disco?
Oh, damn you, Betty. Haven't you done it all, darling?
Bitch, what do you think I invited you here for? Come in.
Now, now, girls, please, can't we be ladies? Okay, let's just go now.
With your red hot flare, I'd love to kiss you, but I just washed my hair. Get me out of this dump with your big regulator. Burn my fuse with your love generator.
Crank this engine, darling. Get it ready to drive. Turn on your switch, darling. Make it come alive. Ooh, let it ooze your love infiltrator. Burn my fuse now, love generator.
Generator.
Regulator, darling.
Oh, alternator.
Your flagellator.
Penetrator.
Infiltrator, darling.
Oh, accelerator.
Please call my name.
Generator.
Regulator, darling.
Oh, alternator.
Flagellator.
Penetrator,
darling.
Oh, accelerator.
Please call my name.
Love machine, love generator. Baby, just twisting your key and converse combustion to me. Steaming sparks fly, flames, pistons roll. Drive me high and singe my soul.
The lilacs all in bloom again. John and Violet again.
Damn it, don't say you love me, darling. Say I'm beautiful.
Really, girls, we must stop all of this, can't we? Please start my motor with a gentle touch. Let me guide my wheel, if you will. You pop your clutch. I simply cannot refuse your love, penetrator. You may burn my fuse, Mr. Love Generator.
Oh, drive me home with a driving power. All night, all day, every minute, every hour. Oh, no taboos now with your love accelerator. Burn my fuse, you red-hot love generator.
Generator!
Regulator!
Oh, alternator.
Flagellator.
Penetrator!
Infiltrator, darling.
Whoa, accelerator.
Please call my NATO.
Love machine, love generator. Oh, come up and see me sometime. Let your pistons roll. Oh, drive me high. Come on, singe my soul. Oh.
Generator.
Regulator, darling. Whoa.
Oh, alternator.
Penetrator!
Infiltrator!
Whoa! Oh, accelerator!
Please call my NATO!
Oh, when I'm good, I'm very good! But when I'm bad, I'm better!
Shut up, May! You've never been any good or had any talent!
Say it's not the men in your life, but the life in your men that really counts!
How did you move from lip syncing to real singing?
Because the jealous queens kept voting me off the stage. You know, they gradually got more and more people on the stage, you know, to where they had like 10 different performers. I started it, the whole kit caboodle. I started it, and they expanded it because more and more people wanted to join in, and so the owner of the club kept adding more and more to the cast, and the cast decided they didn't like me because I was very, very good with what I did. So they were jealous, and they didn't like that. So they would begin to just vote me off the stage and go to the owner and say, get Dime a Little off the stage. We won't work. And, of course, the owners, being so namby-pamby, would kind of go along with them and tell me, oh, well, don't come in, and we're having some disharmony with the other entertainers and this, that, and the other. And they did me that way all over town, and I said, well, the hell with them. I said, I'll just get me a band. I said, I'll just put a little ad in the paper and just drum up a band.
How was the band received?
They loved me. It was immediate success, just immediately. And the guys, the four guys that I started with, the Converse All-Stars, they adored me. They were four straight guys. One or two of them I should have tried something with, but I never believed in mixing business with pleasure or pleasure with business or whatever. Most of my bands, the majority of the bands are primarily straight, 90% of them. You know, they're not gay bands. So that's how I started. The drags made me do it. It was not my intention to become a big rock and roll star. It was an accident.
Was there a club that was perhaps more prominent than others in your career?
Well, we had, at one time, around early 70s and mid-70s, we had seven or eight drag clubs throughout the city, and then they began to diminish. I played a lot of the straight rock and roll clubs that were, you know, basically musical clubs, you know, where lots of straight people went. And some gay clubs a little, but the gay clubs never wanted much of anything but pantomime. They really didn't want to fool with bands too much.
What about the Sweet Gumhead?
That was basically pantomime. I did play with the band out there, I believe, once, and that was very, very successful. And then I was an MC there for a long time, and that was very successful.
Was that perhaps the most popular drag club in Atlanta over the years?
It lasted for about 10 years. It was very, very popular. People came from all around to go to Sweet Gum. You know, it's real, real popular. They had really nice shows, you know, a lip sync.
I think I was in that club. I came through Atlanta perhaps in 80 or 81.
It closed in 81. I think perhaps August of 81. Seemed like it was the summer of 81 when it finally closed.
Tell me about your stage act.
Well, I'm just a wild Tina Turner style. So if you've seen Tina, which I'm sure you have, it's very much like her. Very, very much like her. I dress a little differently than she does, but I do a lot of rapping with the audience more so than she does. She does more song, and I'll do a song or two, and then I'll rap a little bit with the audience and tell a joke or two, a little short story or two. I add a little bit more dialogue to the show than Tina does. She sticks more to her song. Then I change looks from blonde, redhead, brunette.
How about the song Jailhouse Jezebel?
Oh, that came to me because I've been thrown in jail so many times until it was a natural.
I am the Jailhouse Jezebel. Yes, the Jailhouse Jezebel. A woman born to raise from hell. I gotta get back on those streets as quick as I can. I was out on the streets, hustling again. Along came the vice, they ran me in. I landed in the jailhouse, haven't done no wrong. Between my mugshots and fingerprints, I wrote me a song. I am the jailhouse Jezebel. Any other names, well, I thought to myself, oh, this must be fun and games. So I said, if you like, you can call me roll. If they threw me in a cell and beat me with a rubber hole. I'm a jailhouse Jezebel. The wall, you dirty SOB, while they search me up and down, leaving no privacy. They got me all alone just to try some brand new kicks. I'll tell you here and now that they're a bunch of dirty dicks.
In the jailhouse, Jezebel, a woman born to raise in hell. I wanna get back on the street fast as I can.
Getting collards, cornbread mixed with sand. Anyway, since I couldn't bite the hand, if the garbage doesn't kill, you might die of fright. Lord, please help me make it through this night.
This next song will be for my internet listeners only. Please tell me about Big Lollipop.
Oh, Big Lollipop, these musicians went to a studio, and this guy called me and said, Diamond, we've gone into the studio, and we have really cooked with a musical composition, and it's just hot as it could be. Want you to do some lyrics. And so he gave me the tape. And I thought, well, what in the world is this going on here? So that just sort of began to gel. I don't know where that came from either. And so I wrote the Big Lollipop over it. It's quite a hit. Oh, they love that one. And I made a big production out of it, too. I used to have backup dancers with it. You know, male backup dancers, you know, and jock straps and everything. And each jock strap, they had a big lollipop. I'd pull out of the jock strap, throw it out to the audience. Oh, it was a scandal. They do muscle poses and all behind me and everything like that. It was fabulous.
My baby has sweet candy, hard as candy cane. Sweet, sweet kisses, lollipops, he drives me insane. He unwraps his candy box and opens.
way. When he hands me his sweet candy, I just lick my chop. He gives me sweet candy kisses and a big lollipop. Lollipop. My sugar's cane is one sweet lollipop.
I'd like to ask about some of the other legendary drag performers that you probably crossed paths with. How about Ray Bourbon?
Oh, Ray Bourbon, oh, she was a scandal. Oh, she was wonderful. She was highly comedic. And she was real personable and all that. She chose the right name because she would order a tumbler full of bourbon. About every 20 minutes, she'd scream out to the bartender and send her another glass of bourbon. And it was just straight bourbon. She'd sit up there on the stage and do all this comedy, which was really good. And it was primarily really for a straight audience. Gays went, of course, but it was primarily for a straight audience.
Well, she, I'm sure, was the most prolific among any of the drag artists who recorded.
Oh, yeah. So she was big, bigger than I remember, because, see, I was real young when she came in, and you could hardly get in. You'd have to sort of sneak in. You know, you had to be 21, and if you sort of knew the doorman and winked at him or something, they'd say, oh, we'll go in, you know, stuff like that. They always had a doorman. And she played, I believe it was six nights a week. She made $600, and which was huge. Huge money in that era, but she drank up $600 in liquor. They'd give her a tab for $600, and her salary would be nothing. So she'd cuss out the nightclub owner, and she said, "To hell with you! I want $300 cash. I'm not paying you $600 bar bill." And she'd get $300. She'd get half of it, and then she hired a piano player for that too, because she always had a piano. He played the piano for her backup. She'd sing little songs. And she paid him a little small salary, not much. And she'd sit up there and she'd drink the bourbon, and she didn't fall off the stage or anything.
Can you think of any interesting stories about her?
Oh, yes. And she'd go to the parties and, you know, all the young stuff at the parties, you know, after the show and all. Oh, she'd just get them in the bushes and pull at the cocks and just, you know, give them all blowjobs. She was fabulous that way. Left no stones unturned. Of course, she was an old piece, and she would talk. She said, "Oh, I can't, my next birthday, I can't wait for it. I'll at last turn 69. She'd say that on stage a lot. next birthday, I'll be 69 years old.
How about Charles Pierce?
Charles Pierce, I worked with her out there. She turned out to be a horrible bitch. And you'd think she'd be more professional because, I mean, what could anybody do to her? She's already totally established. But the jealousy reigns. You know, if you're a jealous bitch to start with, you remain a jealous bitch. But anyway, back to Miss Pierce, there was a little contest out there, and because she was playing at this club, Pinocchio. So I ended the contest on a lark because I was brand new in town. They had 6 or 8 contestants, and I got out and did my number. And, of course, Miss Pierce was just taken aback. You know, she was just, oh, my God, you know, look at her face. Now, what she did, just to be a total bitch, she said, looks like we've got a tie. Well, one of the lesbian entertainers that sang live, and, of course, I sang live because at that time I had the smooth operator out on 45. And she said, looks like there's a tie. So we're going to have to applaud between, we'll call the lesbian Mary Sue and Diamond Little. So she automatically knew that all the dykes in the audience and all were going to applaud more for Mary Sue because they knew her as a friend, and I was from out of town. Well, it looks like Mary Sue is the winner. I actually had won it to start with, you know, because I could tell by the applause. But she pulled that bull, you know, so that I wouldn't win. But then shortly I became working with her, and then she would tape her face all up with tons of adhesive tape, you know, give herself a facelift under the wig, and God, she would tape. I've never seen so much taping, you know. And I made the mistake of going into her dressing room and saying, well, Miss Thing, where do you want me on the lineup? And of course she told me. And some other performer sort of overheard that and said, oh, my God, you just really put your foot in it. Said, she detests being called Miss Thing. And I said, well, everybody's called Miss Thing. I said, that's just a universal way to address queens, Miss Thing. But anyway, she didn't do anything further to me. She'd already done what she could do with the contest. She left that club, they put my name headlining the marquee.
Well, I know that the Jewel Box Review toured a lot.
I saw that. It came to town 2-3 times, and I tried to make it a point to see it. It was always $25 and one guy, and the one guy was a lesbian in drag. But it was a real good show, real good.
What are your memories of Jane County in those days?
Oh, Jane, bless her heart, I gave her inspiration to become a star. I have inspired many. Jane originally was Wayne. She came to see me early on, and I gave her lots and lots of inspiration. And she does mention me in one of her books, I think. Incidentally, I have not read, but I understand that there's maybe a paragraph as to where her inspiration came from Diamond Lil.
Let's slip in another song. I like You Can Have My Husband. That's not one of yours, is it?
No, that's an old rock and roll song, and probably hardly ever heard. One of the producers came up with that song and told me I should do it.
Oh, it's a good song.
It is a good song, and they really like it, you know, in performance. Oh, they really do like it. That one is especially good in performance.
Ow! You can have my husband. Please don't mess with my man. Ooh, ooh, you can have my husband. Please don't mess with my man. I'm telling all you girls, I want you all to understand. Now when I was with my husband, he really treated me mean. My man treats me good, treats me like a queen. You can have my husband. Don't mess with my man. Wow. I'm telling all you children, I want you all to understand. Ooh. Now when I was with my husband, he fed me red beans and rice. My man gives me steaks. Ain't that nice? You can have my husband. Please don't mess with my man. Wow. I'm telling all you girls, I want you all. Understand. Yeah, cut it loose. You okay, Daddy-O? You doing all right?
All right, darling.
Oh, you're all right, honey. Good to see you. doing okay, darling? You doing okay, Big Daddy? Oh, you okay, honey? You all right? You okay, Ken? Now, when I was with my husband, he really treated me mean. My man treats me good, just like a queen. You can have my husband. Please don't mess with my man. I'm telling all you people, I want you all to understand. In this case, I'm telling all you girls, want you all to understand. I'm telling all you chicks, I want you all to understand.
You also have a reputation of being a writer of advice columns and stories.
Oh, yes, I was very, very famous as a writer. Oh, everywhere I went. Oh, Diamond, we love your advice column. Oh, it's the most wonderful thing that's ever happened. We love it, we love it, we love it, we love it, we love it. And it also sold ads in the magazine because they would say, oh, our magazine has the Dear Diamond Wheel.
And I heard you're known for writing obituaries.
They liked that, and that was real difficult to do because I said, what are you doing with this thing? People were not getting mentioned. They died, and people were just forgotten. People never knew they died. So I decided, you know, three of my friends died, and I said, there was no mention. I said, well, you need to write something about them. And that's how that started, and then I began to expand on it. And lo and behold, they printed it, and I was shocked. And I expanded and expanded and on the story, and they printed it, printed it, printed it, to where it became, you know, people everywhere I went said, oh, I just love your obituaries. I want you to write mine. And lo and behold, I wrote several. Unfortunately, and they were my good friends. Oh, Diamond, I want you to write my... And oh, it's awful. And I said, well, they asked you to do it.
I've saved my favorite song of yours to ask about for last. Can you please tell me about the song Silver Grill Blues?
Silver Grill Blues, that's a restaurant that's been here since 1945. And on that album, I go into this long rap that sort of describes it, you know, being a little whitewashed concrete block diner, and it's kind of a greasy spoon type thing. So it just dawned on me one day to write a song about it. I was never really a songwriter, so that's how the song developed. And then I had some bands at the time, different ones and all, and then we sort of just developed the song, and I was sing it at all of my live performances. Consequently, it made the Silver Grill extremely popular because every time I did the song, it would send hordes of people over there to eat their chicken.
You have more than one version of that song.
Yes, I do. What happened to that version is it took so damn long in the studio. The first cut on that album is the original cut, but it took so long in the studio to hone it down and to get it done, and oh, it's driving me nuts. It was to come out on a 45. It was to be Silver Grill on one side, and on the other side was supposed to be Cabbage Town Katie. And so after it took so long, I began to decide, I said, well, why don't you just put out an LP? So in doing that, I said, well, you could use another version of Silver Grill and include a trucker and a waitress and make it a little bit more comedy. So that version came out, and people liked that one a lot, too.
Is that your most popular song?
Oh, yeah. But I would love to become known by another song because the Silver Grill has not given me a chicken wing or a gizzard or a cup of coffee or a damn thing.
Thank you, sir. And here's your half ride to go.
A place for lonesome dude to sit in this here truck stop.
Well, now, here's one last stool right here next to this painted leg. Woman.
beautiful young thing doing sitting here all by your little lonesome?
Oh, I was just thinking about maybe some nice chicken.
Clover Seed! An order comes long ago!
Say, sweet thing, how about you and me making a little time together?
The only thing I have for you, Buster, would be time to kiss off.
Come on now, honey. You and me can go out and drink a little white wine in the truck.
Hurry up with that coleslaw!
Oh, I'm so hungry. So very hungry. I want some. Oh, oh, yes.
Silver grilled chicken. It's gonna make your mouth water. Plenty of coleslaw and French fries come. Ooh, with the order. Oh, I lost my heart. Just trying to get my fill. When I ate at this country diner called the Silver Grilled, the waitress came to him and asked to take his order.
Are you gonna goof off all day, or did you want to get yourself something to eat?
Woman, I don't think I see something that looks mighty darn tempting, like a couple of them breasts and this here thigh.
We don't serve special parts here.
I would certainly think not.
How specialty? Tender southern chicken.
Say, precious darling, what is your name?
You can call me Lil.
Yeah, and I bet that's short for Lily Mae.
I would never be that common. It's an abbreviation for Lillian.
Good old time with me.
No, I don't think so. I just want my
silver grilled chicken.
Yeah,
it's gonna make your mouth water.
Again, that was Diamond Lil with one of the two versions she recorded of Silver Grill Blues, and she called that the Grease version from her 1984 album, Queen of Diamonds. I'm getting to the end of part one of my special two-part show, Those Singing Drag Queens, and I admit it's been one of my more ambitious projects for Queer Music Heritage, trying to do justice to about 80 years of performing drag artists. I know that in no way could I cover them all even in two radio shows. Fortunately, I've got a huge website that allows me to upload extended versions of my show, where my internet listeners can hear more of the comments by Diamond Lil and many more artists. That, of course, can be found at www.queermusicheritage.com. And as always, if you have questions or comments about any of the music I featured, please write me at qmheritage@aol.com. For tonight's show, I want to thank you all for listening. And I especially want to thank Diamond Lil for the wonderful interview. And I also want to thank her for providing me with a whole slew of memorabilia, which you can see at my site. I'm down to the last artist of the show, and the last song, which is a dance song. And in a way, it's a preview of part two of Those Singing Drag Queens, to be heard next month. It's a preview because I'm closing part one in the mid-80s, and in the last 20 years, performing drag artists have done a lot of dance music. Closing the show is an artist it's hard to be indifferent about. you either loved his campiness and spirit or were disgusted by his other antics, like the closing scene of his first movie, 1972's Pink Flamingos. Of course, I'm talking about Divine. This was a very, very unlikely person to become such a celebrity, and he had a lot of success in a number of movies like Polyester with Tab Hunter, Lust in the Dust, and one I quite liked, Hairspray. And he had an inexplicable success doing dance music. His first single, Born to be Cheap, from 1979, did not make much of an impression, but others caught on, like Shoot Your Shot, Love Reaction, and Jungle Jezebel. One from 1984 that made the Billboard charts in several countries was You Think You're a Man. That one is also perhaps his most lyrically gay song. So this is J.D. Doyle for Queer Voices on KPFT Houston, closing with You Think You're a Man by Divine.
Giant step for you.